Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Hello, everyone. Today we have Laura DeFranco. Laura is the CEO of Brave Healer Productions, where they publish world-changing wellness books. She has 3 decades of expertise in holistic physical therapy, a third degree black belt, and 20 books and counting. She has a clear preference for everything badass, is a recovering good girl, has healed herself with joy. Her most recent book, How to Have Fun with Your Fear, says it all. Let's run with this fear to fun, badass, heart-centered writer who says writing heals the teller and heals the receiver. She encourages everyone to share their message because everyone has a unique and important message to share. Let's see how this spirals out. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Yes, so excited. So, big question. Do you remember the day that you turned from good girl to badass?
Oh, the answers I could give you. There are many moments. I love to think about the defining moments in my life. It's a great, great question. There was a year when I was married still and made a big fat decision not to accompany my then husband and kids to my in-laws' home for the holidays. So I actually wrote a blog about vetoing Christmas that year. And it was terrifying to make that decision, especially because my kids were going and I was basically saying, no, I'm not going to go. You guys are going to have to leave me alone this year. But I was prioritizing my own self-care and healing that year. And when I think back to decisions that I've had to make like that, I am happy that I didn't just cave and go. I'm happy that I made the decision to prioritize myself. And that was the beginning of understanding just how much health and joy I could feel. And that was for everybody else in my life, including myself, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Gotta serve people from the overflow. So that's one small one. There are some others, but that's the one that came to mind.
Yeah. So it was about listening to what you needed in the moment, and it just felt wrong to cave, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I think we say yes when we mean no so often. Mm-hmm. We do that in our lives with our partners, with our kids, in our jobs. For so many reasons, we feel the duty and obligation to be somebody or do something that doesn't fill us up. And you can only do that so many times before you burn out. Right. And there just was a moment where I decided to say no and mean it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in your heart, you can feel that little, you know, it's like, it's telling you no.
Of course.
Wears you down. Yeah.
You feel it in your heart and you feel it in lots of different places in your body. And this is the whole thing. My whole journey was listening to that body language, that intuition, that soul language, the sensations and feelings coming that were messages. And of course, they had been there all along. I just had to learn the language. Mm-hmm. And when you really understand and you can make a decision from that place, then you know that you'll be serving your own health and wellness in the biggest way possible. So yeah, the heart feeling right in the middle of your chest, or that feeling in your throat or your gut, you know, different people have it in different places.
Yeah. And often you notice a complete switch in your energy once you make the right decision. Have you noticed? Oh,
the relief.
Yeah.
Yes. You feel lighter, literally lighter. And you may have the residual buzz from being a little afraid about the decision you made, right? And the consequences, really. But the palpable feeling of lightness and relief. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Can't be missed.
Mm-mm.
So that's wonderful. And you have a very unique way of looking at life purpose, that fear serves us in a way. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I like to talk about fear in terms of purpose-driven fear. And, you know, this is for people who are playing a little bit bigger in the world and they have big vision, big mission. They want to do things. They want to tell their story in bigger ways. And the fears that come up inside of us, those inner critic, I'm not good enough fears, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that if you really understand those as different from the regular intense survival kinds of fear feeling, because fear is just a feeling inside your body. We were just talking about those feelings and those messages. But I learned how to discern between this purpose-driven kind, the stuff I really wanted to do, and the other kind. And that, if you're good at it, can be a compass. You know exactly the decision you need to make for the best next right step for your journey if you understand that feeling and you can differentiate it from the other kind.
Right. So tell us more about the differentiation and knowing.
You know, understand and do this awesome exercise with my writers of understanding what the hell yes and the hell no are inside you. And if you know what the no is, that's actually, we were already talking about it, the tightness in your chest, the choky feeling in your throat, the pang or the feeling inside of you, right? That's on the no side. But on the yes side is the lightness we were talking about, relief, flexibility, warmth, right? And so they have feelings, but the problem with purpose-driven fear is they have a lot of the no side feelings sometimes, and it's hard to understand what this is up in you. So I have figured out that those feelings in me always, always have an air of excitement. It's not that full-on heavy dread, no. It's this no, but I'm really excited about it, you know? So there's this other feeling in with it. And also they cycle back because this is my soul calling here. So my soul is not going to let me get away with not going for this thing it knows I really, really want. So that purpose-driven fear and whatever it is I want to do or say or create, you know, the universe has a way of sort of bringing it right back around in my face. And that's another way I know it's like, oh, here it is again. Okay. I guess I got to do something about this now.
Right.
So those are a couple of ways that I know what that is inside me.
Yeah. And do you have a couple examples when that's happened, when something circled around and come again, so you just can't miss it?
I mean, you know, starting in back several years now, writing that first book. So that was a notion I had inside of me over and over, and many couple decades worth of years, I didn't do it. And I didn't know what I wanted to write or what would be worthy enough or what people would like. And this, these, you know, purpose-driven fears again of it not being the right book or the right kind or good enough or something people would like. But it kept coming back and it kept coming back. And finally, that particular year, I decided I was going to go ahead and publish that first book and get my stories out into the world for everyone to read. And that was one example. But everything I've done in that same realm of sharing the message out loud with more than just me, more than just my mom or my BFF, it's been like that. It's come back around as an opportunity presented to me, as an invitation, as a inspired idea, and things like speaking on a stage. That's another, you know, could be really terrifying for some people, but it kept coming up. We need to get you on a stage. We need to speak. We need to have you sharing these whatever they were. I do a lot of spoken word poetry. Mm-hmm. So standing on a stage and actually delivering a poem, that kind of thing. So those are a couple of examples.
Yeah. Awesome. And then when you do go forward with it, you get that warm feeling and the excitement, right? The signposts that...
Yes, it's always exciting. It's not without a little bit of scariness, but that's part of it. So if you learn that that feeling is part of it, you'll be okay. You know, nothing great happens in your comfort zone. You've heard this before. So that discomfort zone, it's that feeling that everybody's talking about. And if they can understand the feeling and really get that they can go for it over there, right? It's a good feeling, even though it feels a little bit bad sometimes. It gets exciting. And there's some relief, but in a person like me who loves to go for her goals and go for bigger things in life, there can be a feeling of excitement, but sometimes it's bigger than that. And there's this underlying thing that drives us to move on to the next bigger thing or biggest thing. So a lot of people ask me, are you going to do that forever? Like, is that what this is all about? Or what's the end game? You know, what is that? Because striving all the time gets tiring too, you know? So I like to say that it's really more about joy. And if you keep all of that achievement stuff in your personal joy bucket, and it's bringing you that feeling, then the excitement is cool. But the way that I live my life every day in joy is super awesome.
Right. So it's following your joy, and that's your barometer.
Yes, always.
Yeah. And you have a wonderful message for people to share their stories, because we each have a really important message to share to the world, don't we? We're all unique and all a little piece of the puzzle. And when we all shine, it could be quite incredible. Tell us about that.
Definitely. I mean, everybody has their story, and whether or not they feel called to share it, you know, is one thing. But if you are one of those people feeling called to share, there is a reason. And there's always somebody out there that is waiting for your story or your message in exactly the unique way only you can tell it or share it. And there are a lot of my entrepreneur friends will say, well, that's already been written before, or that story has already been told before, or whatever. And my response to that is, well, not by you. Mm-hmm. So when you're sharing it, there's always going to be somebody needing to hear it your way, not the other 100 ways that have been told already. And it's that time that you share it, that it lands for that person listening or reading or however, you know, it's being delivered. And that can change a life. That can change a life. So yes, everyone has a story. And if you're feeling called to share, there's probably a deeper reason. And you definitely should find a way to do that that feels good to you.
Yeah, that is one of the things that happen, is that your mind says, oh, that's been done before. And, you know, no one's going to listen to my story.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it really comes up.
Yeah. Inner critic messages are there to help us learn. They're old, conditioned, and habitual. And it's the kind of awareness I call the ninja moves. Like when you have some ninja moves on your own inner critic BS, that can be a life-changing moment for you, because you recognize it coming up and you're like, I talked to it. So I named her Martha. I'm like, Martha, I've heard this before. Like, I appreciate that you're trying to protect me or whatever, but I'm good. I got this. And I use that kind of awareness of that voice, and I step back a little bit and I have a conversation with her, because she's just scared and she's, you know, she's trying to protect me or whatever. But I try to stand in my now warrior woman and grab her hand and be like, all right, we got this. Like, we can do this together, you know?
Yeah. I love that ninja moves, the sideways move around around the hurdle. That's great. Any other?
It takes some.
Yeah. Any other tips getting around that?
Well, it takes some practice. So awareness is a practice that will serve you for a lifetime. And the ninja moves are just a level of awareness that you have of your own thoughts. We talked about body awareness in the beginning, being aware of the sensations and the messages that are inside of your body. The little feelings, the sensations are really letting you know, is this good or is this not so good? Helping you be clear about the steps. But the other kind of awareness is being very, very aware of your thoughts, which ones are serving you and which ones are limiting you. So when you get those, when you get that practice down and you create a discipline of that, watching those thoughts, that's why I call them ninja moves, because the more you practice, the better you get at it. And instead of being paralyzed for days about this thought you have in your head that something isn't good enough or it's bad or you're being bad or whatever, what if in the moment of thinking of it, you could take the breath, notice that repetitive thought limiting you and be like, oh, not today. And that it would take seconds instead of days. It would take seconds instead of weeks or months. So some people get stuck in those thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. And I kind of turned it around for myself, because at some point I realized when I was sharing, I was helping people. When I was stuck and paralyzed in those thoughts, I was not helping people. I wasn't writing. I wasn't creating. I wasn't out there helping other people. I was just stuck in myself. And I would have these conversations with myself that would go something like, Laura, you know, stop that. Like, you know, what are you doing? This isn't about you anymore. Your fear of not good enough is boring. Like, go share and help somebody. And then I would turn around and I would do it quickly. I would go sit at my computer and write a blog or do something that would help somebody else. And so that's really, really saved me in my own head.
Yeah. I know. My trick is to say, well, let's just get started. You can stop at any time. And, you know, let's at least move in the right direction that you know is right, right now. Right. Right.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, you can get so stuck. And I find that if you are helping others, it pulls you out of this self-absorption and, you know, depression in a way. Like when you're the saddest or the most stuck is the time you should do these things.
That's exactly right. And sometimes I need to do a step before I jump to the helping somebody else or writing that blog or doing that great thing. Sometimes I am so stuck or feeling so bad, like you were saying, that I need to pull out one of my other tools, and I'll put those in the self-care bucket. Sometimes I need to take a walk in the woods. Sometimes I need to blast some awesome music. Sometimes I need to exercise, literally just move my body so that I know I can shift the energy. And sometimes it's as easy as 5 minutes of breath work. And some days it's not so easy. And I need other tools to kind of move me out of that stuck phase. So in that toolkit of mine, I have a lot of different things. And one of the best things I've done is actually make written lists of these tools and put them up in front of my face in different places in my house, in my office, so that if I'm having one of those days, I'm giving myself the reminders. Like, oh, yep, there's the list. Okay, pick something off of it and go do it, right? Because the more you sit and overthink, the worse it gets.
Yeah, well, you become inert. Like you become the blob that doesn't even move.
That's exactly right, the blob. And it's heavy and it's not a good place to be. And the thoughts, the ruminating thoughts work on themselves and get worse. And it just is not a place, you know, to be stuck for very long. I don't mean to make it sound easy, because some days it's not easy. Mm-hmm. But I do want to encourage people to understand that when you have a practice, and I'll even say discipline again, of the awareness, then you get choices, and this does get easier and more, you can more quickly move out of it. But you have to practice and you have to start somewhere. So if you can't jump from sad to joy, how about just get that teeter-totter to level out and go neutral with a breath? You don't have to be happy, but what about just in the moment with your breathing, right? And that seems like a less of a leap. And then maybe from that middle place, you can move on to inching toward the joy.
Yeah. I talk to my own patients about that a lot, about just moving to neutral rather than constantly ruminating on the negative. Just stop and move to neutral, because then you can have choice to move into something else.
Exactly. Powerful tool.
Mm-hmm. So you have a black belt, and you know, you say things like the discipline and that kind of thing. Do you think that, like, I find that some of the tools we've honed over time really serve us? And is that one that, you know, you draw on from deep within? Because it takes discipline, and you know, you've always moved your body and made efforts in that way. Yeah, tell us about that.
Oh, there's so much there. I trained for 14 years in the martial arts and started that journey with my son. Actually, he was 5 and a half at the time. And honestly, we were just looking for something for him to do, like to get involved in an activity, you know, move, exercise, really. And we went to visit a class and we walked out and, you know, I looked down at him and I'm like, well, you know, what do you think? You want to do it? And he looked up at me and he's like, well, I'll do it if you do it, Mom. And I had to say, okay, right. So we joined the class together, and 6 years later earned our black belts together. He was 11 when he earned his black belt, and I was 38, I believe. I was, you know, well into my adulthood. And in the beginning, I didn't realize what a big gift I was giving myself to move into the martial arts in general. We practiced Taekwondo. It's been such a gift, understanding that a lifestyle like that of, yes, of course, very physical, you know, a lot of things there. But my master had a quote, discipline the mind and the body will follow. And so even though we were sitting in Taekwondo class doing the punches and kicks and all the forms and the sparring and all those physical things, if you didn't have your mind on right, it was not going to work for you that day. And we learn these things over time. And I think that that carries through every other piece of my life and has since. My son stopped at a certain point and I kept going. I moved on to earning my third degree black belt over the years, and being in that family, in those disciplines and all of the things, because it was a place where I could practice everything we've been talking about today at a whole other level, mind, body level, right? So yeah, really, really amazing opportunity to train with those people and our teachers, and wrote a couple books about it.
Yeah. So mind, body, tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, everything is mind, body. And we know enough about this now to know that the integration of the two is the key. Really, the key to everything you want is understanding that there's a physical component and a mental, emotional component, and that the emotions and feelings you're having have a physiology to them. So this goes in both directions. There's also the idea of the energy of your thoughts. And there's so much awesome stuff about this now, the brain science and the way that these things integrate with each other and give you opportunities for healing. So once upon a time, I figured out that if I could stop myself, you know, like you were talking about, just stop and breathe, go neutral. I was changing my vibration, energy vibration in the moment, in my body, that would physiologically change me. So this is a powerful idea. If you really, really understand and get on board, and that's why I get so passionate about creating disciplines of mind-body awareness and mastery, because essentially you can have anything you want for your body, for your life, for your business, for your relationships, for your spiritual life. I mean, I don't care what we're talking about, if you can get this idea. So I unapologetically started going for the joy, girl. Like, when I knew, then why not, right? And it was always up to me. I'm walking around in my life with all of these different influences. I get that. People have people around them and situations that are hard or whatever. But it didn't matter what I was doing or who I was with. It was always up to me to shift it. And we could be talking about the worst scenarios, death, trauma, tragedy. It was still up to me, right, to stop and pause and reach just a little bit toward something better, even if it had to be neutral that day. So it's exciting to have that kind of power and to feel empowered like that in your life.
Very. Love it. Yeah, I'm reframing what's going on, because there is always a different way of looking at it.
Always, always. I mean, and that's something to understand about people in general, right? So it doesn't matter what we're all looking at. There's 100 of us, we'll be having 100 different ways, 100 different filters of looking at whatever that is, the black cat in our path, right? It's going to look 100 different ways if you line up 100 different people. It's really good to know. Because we love to be right, don't we? Mm. That's a black cat. Well, no, it isn't. It's actually a little bit what, right? And so, yeah, we love to be right. What was the Dr. Phil quote? I love this quote from him. You know, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Well, I'll take some happy. But you know, this is perspective we're talking about. There's a lot of them, and it's always good to keep your mind open.
Yeah. And I love following the signposts too, right? Like, because we are far more intelligent and have planned, you know, our life. I believe we have a higher self that really can guide. But I remember I was a ballroom dancer, and we had a Canadian championship one. And then we were going to the Worlds, and I got pregnant with twins. And there was no going to the Worlds that year. And I shortly after realized there probably never was again, because it took so much effort, you know, just to be a mother. That was, and two things happened though. When my girls became 5, they wanted to take up circus. And like you, I took it up with them. And it was so much fun. I learned that at that time I morphed into trampoline. And then they wanted to take up horseback riding, and that had been a dream of mine since I was a little girl. So off we went to do that too. And so sometimes those things that, you know, when you think your life is over, if you just follow the breadcrumbs, amazing things come from it.
I love how life works out like that most of the time. And it's so exciting to me to live that way in my mind. Always trusting that whatever is happening in the moment, even if it feels like the biggest disappointment ever, really you don't know the answer to what it's going to be or what it could be or what the possibility is, right? I love living my life like that and not always sliding into the worst case scenarios or what this means, you know, for me, or the disappointment. Or whatever. It's so much more fun to trust that what's happening to us is happening for us. And maybe we just don't know what's down the road, right?
Yeah, it could be far more exciting than what we thought we had planned.
Definitely. I've always been an athlete and have exercised and done things my entire life. I was a collegiate soccer player. I moved on to running and marathon running before I had children. Of course, you know, the children tend to change things in your body and your schedule, but the marathon running, the running, long distance running was kind of like a part of me. It was my identity. I loved being able to do that long distance, felt in the best shape of my life when I did it, all the good things. And after I had my kiddo, the first kiddo, I had some birth trauma, physical for me, that changed everything. And I couldn't run. It was painful. And I was so stuck in my head for so long about what will I do if I can't ever run again. And then he turned 5. We sought out martial arts. And 14 years later, I'm here talking to you about my third degree black belt, right? So like, had that not happened, I would have never maybe discovered this thing. And this other thing ended up being something I would talk about. You know, I thought I was in shape when I was a marathoner,
yeah,
but martial arts, oh boy. And you know, dancing is very, very similar. Mm. Being able to dance like that, using your entire body and all the different varied ways you have to use it and your brain for the steps and the moves and all the stuff. Right. So I love that I found something that took me even further.
Yeah. And being, you have to be totally in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which teaches so much. Sport yep. teaches that, doesn't it? Otherwise, you have to be in the zone, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah. When you're in, or even you could say, if you understand that piece of it, when you're in the zone, magic can happen.
Yeah.
So of course we can be out of the zone and, you know, feel the repercussions of that when we're dancing or doing kicks or whatever we're doing, but being in the zone and experiencing what that's like is phenomenal.
Yeah. It teaches so much, and then you can use it in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And perfectionism, that's something you overcame as well. I think that's what you were talking about at the very beginning, but can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I mean, we all grow up in certain circumstances, and somewhere along the line, I started to believe that I had to be perfect, that was the idea. And listening to all of the different checklists of things I needed to do and do well to be good or worthy or do life the right way or whatever you're being taught by what you see around you. Parents, coaches, teachers, friends, all of those outside influences. So what did perfect mean? I made that stuff up in my head based on what I was seeing around me and what I thought I was supposed to do. So go to school and graduate and then get a graduate degree, and you better get straight A's and you better get a great job and you better do this and this and this and this, right? There's a long list that we follow. And who is monitoring perfect? That's what I want to know. So like, you know, when you figure out that you are doing that to yourself,
yeah,
there's an aha moment, a big one sometimes. And I'd much rather now be making the mistakes and having some of the failures that are moving me, catapulting me forward, rather than staying in this crazy comfort zone, trying to be perfect and all of the constriction of that and not getting anywhere. That feels paralyzing to me now. So I love to be out making the mistakes and learning the next thing and taking it all the next step. But I came from that place of, if you weren't perfect, you didn't get paid. If you weren't perfect, you didn't get loved. Yeah. Whatever that was. Yeah. I mean, those are deep, hardcore worthiness types of things to move through. And I feel like that really has been kind of a lifelong pursuit and part of my message.
Yeah. I found sport helped me with that too, because, you know, you failed along the way. And if you focused on that failure, you would never move forward. So like now I try to tell others that those failures, they faint, they melt away. Like you don't even remember them. When you're a perfectionist, you remember them so hard in the moment. Like you failed. And I remember being awake all night and, oh my God. But you know, the truth is nobody else cares. Right? So somewhere on the line. True. Yeah. Somewhere along the line, you realize that too. And so you had to see it differently.
Yeah, it's never really about you as much as you think it is. And, you know, people are not paying attention. They're paying attention to their own situation. That's another great lesson to learn. The earlier you learn it, the better.
Right? Yeah. No one really cares about your failure other than right. you. Yeah. And then it will depend on how you reframe it.
Exactly.
So do you have any great memories of that as a runner or?
Of failing forward?
Yeah. I like this
term. You know, so yeah, sure. I mean, I have so many. And I love what you said about then it's about your focus. Because if you sit in the focus of the failure, you know, you can do that for a really long time. So I've learned the skill of not sitting there for very long at this point in my life, but I wasn't so good at it a while back. Marathon, the goal to run my first marathon was big. And I did so many months of training to get my body ready to be able to make that achievement. And the first year that I ran it was here in the DC area, the Marine Corps Marathon. And I didn't finish. My worst case scenario came true. I had to get on the bus and ride the bus back to the start. And I can't remember what mile it was. It was far into it. I had a shooting horrible pain in my knee. So I tried to walk. And it wasn't happening. Like it just wasn't happening. So I had to board the bus and I had to chalk it up to next time, right? Which for me would be a whole year later. So one of those experiences, you know, I could have decided not to do it again. But I decided to do it again. And then I decided to do it a third time. And the second one I finished. It took me a long time, but I finished. And then the third one, I beat my time from the second one by a little, right? So if you can watch yourself making the progress of that, I think the entire thing ends up being more of the success.
Yeah.
But if I had gotten stuck in that fail,
yeah,
I would have never experienced that bigger picture.
Yeah.
You know, so I think about that a lot. Like, okay, what have you failed in, but that you just need to try again? You need to learn from and do it better next time. Yeah. And I think that's a massive life lesson.
Huge. So yeah. And knees are interesting, eh? They almost stopped me from competing in a major event too, where my knees just gave out. And I remember I had Louise Hay's book with me and looked at what do knees mean. And it was about, you're worried about what other people will think.
Go figure.
So fortunately, it's funny once you see it, and because, well, ballroom dancing, you're being judged at every second, right? So it's like magnified. But did you have that experience, do you think, like as a runner? Like,
oh, I mean, when we make that, whatever that activity is we're doing, part of our identity, that's part of the problem. So I can see it now and, of course, talk to you about it now. I could not have talked to you about it back then. I didn't know that I was doing that to myself. So, yeah, of course. And I can think of a couple other ones in my Taekwondo years where, weirdly enough, my knee, right? So, yes. And even more so there, because we go to do exams for a promotion of our belt. and you are being watched, you're being judged, you're being, right? It's all of that. And it's not just the teachers, the master, but it's also your comrades. And you are also trying to hold yourself accountable to all of the things you tell yourself you want. And it's so much. We put so much pressure on ourselves, right? So yes. And I spent too much of my life worried about what everyone else thinks. And so now I'm headed into the freedom of taking into consideration the close circle around me of people who I really truly honor their opinion and want it, and everyone else. And so that's been a game changer for me, really understanding who I'm trusting into my inner circle. And I value their opinion and I ask for it, right, on purpose, because I trust them as a person, as an aware person who cares about me. Mm-hmm. But all the rest of the people in the world, right? Everyone else watching you, judging you. And it's not like if that happens, it's when that happens. I had to leave all of that behind me.
Yeah. Well, in even trusting someone else's opinion, like to actually ask, is a huge step too, isn't it? Because totally. It might not be what we want to hear.
Right. And in the end, learning, so figuring out, I think we can beat up on ourselves quite a bit, especially those of us who are in the healing profession and we've really taken the responsibility of doing the inner work. We do a lot of it. And so we're always wondering, oh, what part of that is me? And what part of that is them? And what should I take in and what should I leave? And sometimes we can be guilty of trusting too many other people besides ourselves and not really fully listening all the way back to the beginning of our talk today to that body message. You know, is this going to be good for you? Can you feel it inside of you? Yes. No. Okay. Then it doesn't matter even what your best ever person, best friend says. Best confident, you know, whoever that is that you trust, it still has to land inside of you and you need to make the decision from there. I think that's so important.
Yeah. And that's a muscle, isn't it? It's something
you yes, have exactly.
And have to practice, and like anything else, becoming good at it takes time.
Yeah, exactly. I love talking about it like that, like a muscle, because we have to train our muscles.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes practice. And we're not good at it at the beginning either, just like learning a new sport, right? Do you remember back to how good you were that your first lesson in Taekwondo?
Yeah.
I try to remember that too. So tell us about your new book that you've got coming out.
Oh my goodness. I love it when people ask me this question and then I'm sitting here thinking, which one should I tell her about now? the biggest one. I know. Oh my gosh. I've been a publishing machine and it's been so exciting in the last year, but the big new one is called How to Have Fun with Your Fear and share your brave words and change the world. So this is a book that combines all of the different kinds of tools I've used and some of the ones we've been talking about today, with some authentic stories, poems. I have a lot of things in this book. There's a chapter with 136 different affirmations. There's written exercises that people can play with, but I wanted to give people the toolbook. And there have been books written about fear science and what goes on in the brain and all of that stuff. And while that's really fun, I really wanted people to have an experience with the different exercises to move through their own purpose-driven fears. So, ooh, I can't wait to share this book. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really exciting. And how do people find you? How do they reach out to you?
Well, you guys can come on over to bravehealer.com. It's also my name, so lauradefranco.com works as well. And you can contact me through the website. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, all the usual places Brave Healer Productions is my business name. And I can't wait to chat with you guys, especially if you have questions about getting your brave words out into the world in a bigger way.
Yeah. And I think you have a program that people can take to, if they're interested in writing.
Definitely. Yeah. There's the one that's coming up that's timed the best for our discussion today is, you know, if you really know that you've got that book inside of you, I'm going to do the 3-month Brave Book Writing Program starting in May. And so that's coming up pretty soon. And then there'll be another opportunity to take that program in sort of the late fall, winter time as well. Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. And do you give some tips on how to actually get published and all of that?
For sure. You know, the book writing program and all of my programs when it comes to writing is I'm going to pay forward all of the knowledge and all of the different tools and tips and strategies. So even though the goal is to get that first draft written, I will be teaching about what to do in terms of self-publishing, launching your book, marketing your book, all of the things. And it's really fun for me to share with you guys really some of the mistakes I made in the beginning to try to avoid them for you and get you moving a little bit better and faster with your book.
Right. I think it would be fun and invaluable. Just awesome. Thank you, Laura, for
Thank
being
you.
Here today and for sharing so much wisdom with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you bringing me on and just letting me share the message. I also appreciate the conversation. This right here is sharing brave words. And so you're part of the revolution. Thank you.
Thanks, hon. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the master of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.